Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Front and center today on The Balanced Word.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Thanks for joining us today for The Balanced Word. In a moment, we'll hand things over to Pastor Dave Roth, who today continues his series, Verses for Life. In John chapter 11, we read about Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. As incredible as that miracle is, the Lord also made a powerful statement to Martha that we want to zoom in on with you. Many are afraid of death, try to run away from it, or don't even want to think about it. But let's see how to experience victory over the grave through faith in Christ.
We've been for the last several months, Pastor Justin and I have been doing a series called Verses for Life, where we have picked out the verses that I think are some of the most important verses in the Bible. And most of them are verses that people are familiar with, but at the same time, they aren't, you know, they haven't necessarily focused on them and really looked at them in depth and come to understand some of the deeper truths that are contained in the verses. So I'm really enjoying going through this series, and so today is just another episode of the Verses for Life series, and if you have a Bible, you can turn over to John 11, verses 25 and 26. John 11, verses 25 and 26. Now, to give it some context, in John 11, a friend of Jesus, Lazarus, had been sick, and Jesus stalled going to pray for him, and by the time Jesus got around to coming, Lazarus was already dead. And so he now came to Bethany. I mean, Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha, come up several times in the scriptures. They were some of Jesus' best friends. Whenever Jesus would come, you know, he lived up in the Galilee region in northern Israel, but when he came down to Jerusalem, which they call coming up to Jerusalem, but when he came to Jerusalem, he would generally stay at their house there in Bethany, which is just on the other side of the Mount of Olives from the east side of Jerusalem. So these were his dear friends. And I don't know if, you know, well, I'm sure you have. You've had someone that you love dearly that dies, and you feel like, oh, it just sucks the life out of you. And so you can't blame the people for mourning and weeping and all this. But in this case, Martha had run out, seen Jesus coming, and went out there and basically was telling him, this is your fault. Because she had seen him pray for other people who were sick, and she just knew if Jesus had got there in time, he could have prayed and Lazarus would still be alive. Now, spoiler alert, he will be alive in just a few minutes. But, you know, she accuses Jesus. She goes, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus looked at Martha, and again, John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? A very bold statement and a very relevant statement for us as well. You know, it's like, okay, death, it happens to everyone. Death happens all the time. But there's something inside all of us that realizes there's something wrong about this. There's something that doesn't feel like, oh, it's a completing the circle or whatever. You know, today, two people die every second. So two people died, two people died, two people died, two people died. That's how rapid it is that people are dying. And sooner or later, we're all touched by it, sometimes in horrible and profound ways. So to understand something more about death is something that can be super relevant for us. And therefore, if there's a way to beat it, then Easter becomes a powerful day to celebrate. And at the same time, what Jesus says here to Martha becomes very personal at this point. So, you know, here we are. This is relevant for us today. Now, he starts out by saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, I am is a really powerful statement for them, for Jews. Because when they said, I am, that was the first person singular verb of being. It's what God told Moses when Moses was like, okay, I'm going to go talk to Pharaoh, but I need a name for you. What shall I call you? And he said, just tell him I am. Like God identifying himself as the self-existent one, in a sense. Jesus, on many occasions, used that same phrase in the Greek, ego eimi, as I am. You might remember one of the most prominent ones, and they were going to kill him because of it, but they weren't able to at that time. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Pretty powerful statement. But he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now he's, I am the resurrection and the life. He's really going in, you know, all in on his identity and who he is and what he intends to do. Now, at the same time, you look at these two verses, and if they aren't true, then Jesus was a nut. I mean, I would never say, I might misrepresent myself to people in some way, but I wouldn't say, it is all about me. Life and death centers on me. All you need to know is believe in me, and literally trust me, and everything will be fine for you for all of eternity. There may be people who have that kind of arrogance, but you better deliver. As C.S. Lewis talks about Jesus, he says, don't give me any of this nonsense that he was a good man who taught good things. He was a wonderful teacher. He was a kind, inspiring leader. He said he made claims for himself that were so outlandish that you can't just say he was a good leader. Because a good leader doesn't say stuff like this. It is all about me when it comes to life, death, and resurrection. And all you need to do is to believe in me. And so as C.S. Lewis so aptly put it, he said, Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or he was the Lord. So he's laying it out here and identifying himself to Martha in a way that would make her probably a little awkward and uncomfortable. But when we look at what he said in these two verses, we go, okay, a lot of my options are shut down. I can't just say, well, you know, he inspired a lot of people. No, oh, he was a good man who taught inspiring truths. No, a good man doesn't say, I am the resurrection and the life. Believe in me. When you die, you're still going to live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Good people don't say that. The only one who could say that is somebody for whom it was true or somebody who is a complete nut. And there are all kinds of crazy people who would say stuff like this, but then do you want to follow a crazy person? Probably not. So he's laying it down and going, okay, this is it. Here's what life is truly about. And it's about me and whether or not you will trust in me. Now, it's interesting that he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He links resurrection, which is future life, with life currently, right now. Now, it's hard to believe in life without believing in resurrection. Because we even feel, even if you think that life is just temporary, well, it's a flash in the pan, and you still have a sense that, no, I am, a person is more than just somebody who's temporary. There's a certain sense that you get from people that they are connected in some other way to something outside just who they are. And so if you reject what Jesus says about him being the resurrection and the life, you need to come up with some other idea, and people do. People who believe in life find other ways to believe in the afterlife or the before life or whatever it is. So, but if you reject what the Bible teaches, then you end up going for really kooky ideas that can at least make you feel better about life. So reincarnation is one. It's like, what a dumb idea. That, oh, when people die, then they come back as somebody else. Excuse me, have you done the math? How many people were there on the earth 1,000 years ago compared to now? Where did all these people come from? Somebody would have to reincarnate into multiple people at the same time. So you know it's not logical, but it makes you feel better. And everyone who says that they're reincarnated, they were always somebody really important, like they were, you know, the Pharaoh of Egypt or Cleopatra or somebody like that. Nobody is like, yep, I was a janitor in the Roman Empire, and now I'm still a janitor today. It's made up. It's fake. But there are other people who try to make sense of resurrection and life in different ways. Today, there are people who will go, you know, this is all a simulation. It's like the Matrix. Life is something that's bigger than what we see because we are just going through the motions here and now. And as far-fetched as that is, at least it's an attempt to say life is more than just what you see. Life is more than just life. But there are all sorts of other notions that people come up with. But the fact is, life and resurrection are inextricably connected. And you either buy into the suggestion that is Christianity, or you're going to have to make up something in order to explain why life matters. Otherwise, why does life matter at all? Why do you care if you die? You know, if you really believe that this life is all there was, why would you continue to live? Why would you continue to let someone else live? Why wouldn't you kill somebody and take their stuff? Please, I'm not recommending that, but I'm just saying, you know, you don't do that because you know there's something inside of you that knows life is precious. Why do you cry when you see a new baby? Why, you know, because you understand this is more than just some temporary machine that breathes and eats and pees and is gone someday. So Jesus says, resurrection and life, that's all tied in with me. I am the resurrection and the life. But then, as he says, believe in me. Now, that word believe there, pistio in the Greek, it doesn't mean that everything within me understands everything about you and I'm with you 100%. It's a word that really just means trust. See, if he's telling Martha, oh, believe in me and you'll never die, what did she know at that point? She had seen him do a few miracles. You know, she had heard some of his teachings. She liked the guy. But at this point, she hasn't had a whole lot of evidence to say, here's what I believe about you. Her doctrine wasn't that strong at this point. Now, obviously, in a few minutes, when her brother comes out of the grave, now she has more of a basis to believe in him. But really, she knew very little. She understood very little compared to what we know. But what the word really means is trust. So he's asking you to suspend your judgment on what you see and trust me. And if you trust me, you'll discover that life and the afterlife is taken care of. That I am in a position to be able to guarantee you that it isn't what it seems, and yet it is what you have a sense of. There's a part of you that kind of knows this, but it's scary. But I want you to trust in me. And that's what I'm suggesting for all of us today. When it comes to life and death, when people that we love die, or when we become aware of our own temporal nature, to just go, okay, I mean, there are so many answers I don't have about heaven and about the resurrection. I get asked these questions all the time. I do a internet TV show where they text in Bible questions, and everybody wants to know, well, what's your resurrection body like? Or when do we get our new bodies? Or what kind of bodies do we have? Where are the Old Testament saints? All, and I'm like, I talk, but the truth is, I don't know. It's not clear. There's so much that I don't know, but I trust. There are a lot of questions. A lot of times when people ask questions about the Bible, like what happens to, you know, babies when they die? What happens to people who've never heard? What happens? And it's like, all I know is I trust him. And I sometimes say, you know, when it's all over with, however God deals with everyone, we're going to go, that was brilliant. I should have just trusted him. Instead of, it's almost like, well, I want to know how he handles somebody in this situation. And sometimes we think as Christians, it's our job to decide who's saved and who isn't. It's like, no, that's not really our problem. One thing I know is when we get to eternity, that we're going to go, what an amazing idea that he had. And so that's what Jesus is saying. Just trust me. Now, there are alternatives. You don't have to trust him. You don't have to believe in him. You can believe whatever you want, and you can trust whatever you want. So what are the other options that are out there? Well, you can decide to trust in nothing. You can just decide, you know what? I don't know, and you don't know, and I'm not going to worry about it, and I'm just going to live my life for right now. Now, that's a hard thing to do. Especially it's hard to not make yourself a complete jerk if you really believe that none of it matters. There's no reason for you to love kids or help somebody along the way or encourage someone or hold somebody who's crying or things like that. But, you know, you can choose that option. But what happens is ultimately what you are opting for is basically what's called philosophically nihilism. It is nothing matters, everything's meaningless, I give up. The most depressing state of mind that anyone could ever be in is to say, life means nothing, there is nothing after this life, and I'm just going through the motions, doing what I can do, and when it's over, it's over. So you can do that. It's a pretty sad way, really, to live your life. You can also sit there and think, I'm going to come up with my own custom-designed philosophy. But ultimately, you're going to live in fear because you have no assurance that whatever you think is actually going to do it. So, you know, people who don't believe in God are still afraid to die. They're still afraid of what might happen after that, even though they may deny it. They still aren't anxious to face death. If you really think that death is just flipping off the light switch, then why don't you just do it? Why, every time every time the Dodgers blow a game, why don't you just like, okay, I'm done. And there are some people who do that, but the reason they do it is because they believe that there's something more. That's why they have that. But it's really painful to be making up your own future when you really don't have a basis for it and a reason to trust. But also, it becomes, and I want to make it very clear, I cannot be 100% certain that Jesus was telling the truth and that what I believe about him from the Bible is absolutely right. I believe that, but I can't say, oh, it'd be impossible for me to be wrong. It's possible that I'm wrong. In fact, you're really foolish if you think there's anything that you know that is absolutely, you're certain of it. Because we don't know. Life involves faith. Life involves deciding to make a decision based on something. So, like Blaise Pascal, the mathematician, scientist, made this example of, he said, look, the Bible makes it clear that there are, you know, it offers salvation, eternal life for people who will trust in Jesus. And he said, I don't know if it's true or not, but he said, think about the possibilities. Look at the potential outcomes. And he said, and they call this Pascal's wager, he said, you can take a chance on just rejecting what Jesus offers for salvation. You have every right to do that. And Pascal said, you might be right. So he said, let's say that you bet that there's no God and there's no, that Jesus didn't matter, and then you die. Now you're going to find out. So if you believed in him and you die and find out there's nothing, you'll go, I still had a way better life, believing in him, living my life with some sense of trust and anticipation and a sense of being loved by someone greater. But he said, if I believe in him and I die and there's nothing, oh well, I had a better life and now it's over. But he said, if you're going to make a bet that, you know, here, I am betting on atheism. I am betting that there's nothing. Well, what if there's even a 1% chance that what the Bible says is true? Do you really feel lucky, punk? Do you really want to take that chance? And Pascal would say, look, you lose nothing, you know, by believing in him. But at the same time, the potential of, even if it's a minute possibility, Jesus was offering life for free forever, and you turn that down, you better be pretty certain in order for you to reject that, because the odds are all in the favor of going with an offer of free salvation.
You're listening to Pastor Dave Rolfe on The Balanced Word and part of our series, Verses for Life. As Pastor Dave shares some of the most important verses from the Scriptures, you'll not only come to better understand them, but be encouraged to commit them to memory. You can catch up on what you may have missed in the series when you visit thebalancedword.com. You can also call to request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. Again, 949-362-7475. Hey, would you like to go through the entire Bible with Pastor Dave? Here's your chance. We're offering Dave's entire Through the Bible series on a USB for a donation of $30 or more. Go from Genesis to Revelation, plug and play in your car, or as you're getting ready for work in the morning. Just give us a call at 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. With your help, we're able to bring these shows to the radio every day, so thank you for your support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475 and ask for the Through the Bible series on a USB. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo, and he always enjoys meeting his radio listeners. Stop by on a Sunday morning at 8 or 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, if you live outside the area. Again, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, contact us through thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. We'd love to go to the Lord on your behalf. Pastor Dave has one final illustration to leave us with today.
If you walked up to I don't want to do too many gambling analogies, but you walk up to a poker table and they deal you 5 cards and you don't even look at them and you go all in, like, push your chips to the center. Kind of stupid. But when it comes to eternity, if you aren't even looking into the potential possibilities that Jesus is telling the truth, you're going all in on something that could be devastating, and you haven't even looked at your cards. You're not even considering the possibilities. So at least it makes sense when somebody's making this kind of a claim. Well, I wonder, what's he actually saying? Now, when you begin to analyze it also, it makes sense to be reasonable and logical and say, okay, when we're talking about life and the afterlife, what do we know about life? We know so much more about life now, more than they did back then. As we study the nature of human life, we recognize more and more the complexity of life, but we've also learned more and more that our living existence is, you know, it's a math problem. It's a calculation. It is a genetic compilation of who we are. And in a simple way, the real you is software, not hardware. You can continue to upgrade your computer as long as you bring the software and you update it. You can continue to have the same, you know, have the same information and the same identity, basically. And on my 10th iPhone, it's still Dave's iPhone. That's the way our bodies are. There is not a single molecule in my body that was here when I was, 10 years old. But it's amazing. I'm still the same guy. I still remember things that happened when I was 10 years old. How does that happen? It's a software thing. It's not a hardware thing.
We'll leave you to think that over. And come back next week for the conclusion of Pastor Dave Rolfe's message, Resurrection and Life, here on The Balanced Word, a presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.